Well, that's a... Oh. Happy New Year, everyone. Good to see you. Let's thank the Lord for 2020. You know, you have to work through these new microphones that you're not familiar with. You know, the old way, I just had to flip a switch. Now, you know, you have to have a technical manual to understand how to turn this thing on. But I'm not complaining. I'm very thankful. Good to see you. The Lord bless you. Welcome. Good to have everyone here this morning. God is so good. Good to have those that are tuning in live. Happy New Year to everyone. A lot of things happening on this first Sunday of 2020. Just a reminder, today, if you're visiting with us and for the church as well here, this is our New Year's sermon. This is the day I bring forth the New Year's message. The Lord willing, will be next Sunday. We'll be starting a brand new epistle, and that being Ephesians. So be reading ahead for that. Also, Missions Fellowship is canceled today. As you know, the mission team, they're returning today from Mexico. College and Career is this Tuesday. And I think you've heard most of these things, but I'll repeat them anyway. Ladies Bible Study resumes this Thursday, 10:30 a.m. And then Mornings for Mom is this Friday, 9 a.m., ages 2 to 5. It says, bring a nut-free sack lunch for your child. Prayer meeting, of course, every Saturday we pray here in the chapel at 9 a.m. And then the new share group, so you saw that just a moment ago. Both are kid-friendly. Go to the website and check that out. I'm very thankful for you guys that are starting those up. Also, very important, opportunities to serve the Lord here in 2020. I pray these are so important. First one is the cleaning ministry. Amen? Everyone say cleaning ministry. Oh, isn't that a beautiful sounding word? Yes. In other words, sign up for that. You don't have to work every Sunday or Thursday. That's when normally we do that. You know, but if you just did it just once a month. Amen? So sign up for that, please, and help us out. Also, and you can send that information to info@loveneverfails.com, and also the Kids Church Ministry. I would love to see the Kids Church start out in 2020 with every servant that's needed. I just, in Jesus' name, listen, I don't want Danielle, Teresa, all the people that work so hard over there to not ever be able to be in service, okay? So if you just served once a month or every other month, it would just change so many things. So I hope that you do that. And this one, the next one, is really incredible. The media team. You know, that's where you operate the cameras and you learn the live stream that goes out to all of the world. We need servants for that immediately. And step out and get involved in that. And that the upper room, you know, where they work is a different kind of room. Every time I go up there, last week it was German pastries. This week it's French pastries. You know, I mean, they're kind of a sissy bunch. But it's hidden from us. But if you want to be, get up there and help out, okay? So, wonderful. With all that being said this morning, we're going to go to the Lord now on this first Sunday of the year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful that we made it this far. We're thankful, Lord, that you have saved us and washed us and cleansed us from all of our sins, iniquities, and transgressions, and that heaven is our home. We're thankful that we have the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning, this very serious beginning of 2020, we do pray over our president. Lord, we pray, matter of fact, we pray over the safety of our nation and all of the men and women that are in uniform in the military, that are being sent out to Iraq. Even now, thousands are going. Lord, I pray for their protection. May in Jesus' name the angels of God just encamp around them and just protect them, Lord. We pray also, unfortunately, again, for all of the churches in America in light of what happened. For safety, Lord, that this is still a sacred place. Lord, that let the violence and all the horrible shootings cease. We pray for the mission team that is now returning, just a safe journey all the way home. And Father, we pray again for Donnie there, just in rehab, that from the brain problems, from the fall, and just being with him and Bill and Bev and Pete and Angela, all the people that we're lifting up in prayer. And Lord, I pray now for the word that you have given me, the word that you exalt above your very name. I pray that the sheep of your pasture, that their hearts are open for this strange and different New Year's message that you've given unto me. I don't look at me, Lord. I'm not even sure of myself, but I am certain of you, that you're here, and that, Lord, that you will use me to speak your perfect will. So, Father, let them hear you this morning. Not me, Lord, but you. Surround your people now with all of your grace. We give you praise for this first Sunday in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 4, verse 20 on the New Year's sermon. I'll be there in, 10 minutes or so. Now, I'm going to be giving you many, many scriptures this morning. This is a totally different type of sermon. I've never preached one like this ever in my entire ministry. So you're going to be, I hope that you're able to follow me some of the way through, but if not, you can take notes. But before we begin, you know, it's incredible all that God did in 2019, wasn't it? Just what an incredible year. Remember the word, the whirlwind is coming, the harvest is right. Prepare. We did. We prepared for an entire year. And boy, you guys did such a great job. You labored and labored and labored. I'm so thankful for you. Candy Cane Lane Christmas, what a great journey that was. Amen. Gosh, and the Lord brought his harvest, well over 1,000 people, you know, brought his harvest to us. We didn't have to go out to them at all. And this is what that has shown us, that the Lord has shown us that how effective this church, you are, when we all step out and obey God's word as one, with one heart, one spirit, one mind, one love, amen. And we obey the Lord, and we step out and work together as one man. And look at the incredible results. I've never seen you guys work so diligently, so hard, for the largest outreach of this church, in the history of this church, that we have ever had. Now, with all that being said, I don't want you to feel or even believe for a moment that the whirlwind of God is over. It hasn't ceased at all. Matter of fact, I don't want you to lose momentum, okay? Many people, I mean, I've been asked over and over by verbally and also by email, Bill, is it over? It's not going to continue. Oh, no. The Lord's, man, it's going to continue. You remember what the Lord said to Joshua. In Joshua 13:1, the Lord said to him, he says, Joshua, you're old. God comes right to the point. He says, you're old. You know, you are advanced in years. And then the Lord said to him again, Joshua, you're old. You're advanced in years. Man, okay, Lord, but I'm going to leave that part away. This is the part I want you to hear. The reason we cannot lose momentum is what God said to Joshua, same thing he's saying to us, is this. For there remains very much land yet to be possessed. You see, amen. There's a lot more work this year. We can't just, our Christmas rest is over now. Amen? Yes, it's completely over. It's time to work again. It's time to prepare again. We cannot live off what God did through you, me, in 2019. It's in the past. Matter of fact, why don't you just leave your past back there? What should have been, could have been, might have been. Amen? Leave it alone. We don't want it. You don't want it. But listen, we can't live off what God did in 2019. We have to move forward into the future, daily into the future, into 2020, because we will be preparing all over again for the Candy Cane Lane Christmas in 2020. But we're going to do it differently this time. But that, more on that later. We're talking about the New Year's message for today. But I will say this. It was a great adventure. Amen. No, now, it was. But listen, are you ready for another adventure? Good. I heard three of you. No. Listen, 2020, it's a new year. Okay. It's a new decade. It's also time for a new adventure. And so the Lord is going to be taking us into deeper waters, if you will. Isn't that a wonderful thing for the Lord to take us deeper and deeper? You see, we go from glory to glory to glory. Amen? Oh, this church, listen to me. Don't get stuck in glory and say, well, this is it. No, we're constantly changing into the same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we move ahead, and again, as I say, every New Year's message, I'm not going to define this because I can't. I don't know what God does every day. I walk in that day just like you, and then we discover it. Amen? So we won't define 2020, the things that we're going to be doing, but I certainly will declare it to you and then let God unfold it as we move forward into this year. But before we move into 2020, if you would, allow me to take us back to the last month of 2019 in December, and I just want to share some, well, tragic facts you need to be aware of. And, our year came, our nation's year came to a very terrible close, whether you know it or not. I mean, here we are, our president is, the Democrats want to have impeached him and so forth. And then what happened just recently, as you already know, the terrible threat now of war with Iran. I hate saber rattling, you know what I mean, with words and verbal things. I don't want a war. Do you want a war? No. But you know what? We're going to trust the Lord, amen? We're going to pray for our nation. But you know, the church, all of us, we have to wake up. This is not a time for complacency. Never is there a time for the believer to walk in with a complacent heart or, you know what I mean? No. We have to be following the Lord. And the reason is, not only are we living in the last days, but we're living in perilous times, savage times, as Paul says. Man, listen, we need to be awake and we need to be alert. Listen to these facts as we closed out in December of 2019. U.S. mass killings reach record high in 2019, the highest since the database has tracked them. In our nation, the highest record ever recorded. As of December 26th of last year, you ready for this? There were 410 mass shootings. I guess that we can't, the tragedy at the West Freeway Church of Christ, I guess we can't call that a mass shooting because, see, a mass shooting is defined four or more people. Well, there were only three people that died there. What a horrible, terrible tragedy for a man to walk into a building that people that worships God and do what he did. Amen. Not only that, loved one, December, the last month of last year, this is heartbreaking. This hurts me deeply. One in seven children owning a smartphone will have sent or received a sexual text message by age 10. Listen carefully. Now, the majority of the children start as young as 8 years of age. Not only that, 60% of all sexting is mutual between them. That's where we're living right now. And it's actually worse than that. Listen to this news, BBC News, the end of 2019. Russia deploys a Vanguard hypersonic missile system. Listen to what President Putin said. He said the nuclear capability of this missile can travel more than 20 times the speed of sound, and it puts Russia ahead of every other nation. Here we are all over again. LA Times, the end of this year. Or last year. California has the most homeless people of any state estimated. 130,000 people living in tent, say that word, tent cities. CNN says Los Angeles, Skid Row, the tents line the entire city blocks. 60,000 people are living on the streets. Listen to this. Rats are so large. Rats. If you should see what the van, one of the vans broke down. Okay, didn't start for the mission trip. And make a long story short, you know why? Rats. You wouldn't believe the things that rat ate in the motor area. That's another story. Okay, you ready? Rats large as cats. So much so because of the wasted, discarded food that is covering all of the streets. San Francisco, one of the nation's largest populations of people living in homelessness. Most are unsheltered, living on the streets without access to basic services. Sidewalks are covered with human feces. The streets are so filthy, reports the National Public Broadcast reports, the radio says, that at least one infectious disease expert has compared the city to some of the dirtiest slums in the world. Don't stick your head in the sand. Be aware not only of your surroundings, be aware of what's happening in our nation. Amen? Put those things to prayer. Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, said this, great civilizations are not murdered. Instead, they take their own lives. Now, 2020, are you ready for the weirdest, strangest sermon that I've ever taught since I've been a pastor? Okay, now let me start this by asking you two questions, because this is a different sermon this morning, but I know it's from the Lord, and I'm delivering, and I'm being obedient. Now, question, how many of you have ever heard a sermon from the pulpit on tents? Well, you're just like the first service, no one. Now, let me ask you another question. Are how many of you that are here have ever done a personal study from Genesis all the way through Revelation on that one word, tent? Interesting, isn't it? Now, let me join with you. I have never preached a sermon on tents, and I have certainly, well, now I can say I have done a study from Genesis to Revelation on that one single word. And what an incredible journey the Lord led me on. I want you to bear with me this morning as I get toward the end of this message, then I'll start making application points. But I want you to bear with me, and I want you to think about everything that God's Word is saying about that one word, tents. Now, tent defined, okay, from the dictionary, a portable shelter made of cloth, supported by one or more poles, stretched tight by cords or loops, and attached to pegs driven into the ground. That's not the kind of tent really I'm going to talk about, but I will, but not exactly that kind of tent. Did you know that the Bible is, the word tent is repetitious from Genesis to Revelation? It's listed over 181 times, and believe it or not, over the course of 5 days, I studied every one of those passages for this sermon. And I was intrigued at what I was finding. Did you know, I never thought about this, did you know that the word tent is found before the flood? Yes, Genesis chapter 4, verse 20. Look at it with me. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10 says this, the first mention of the word tent in the Bible, and Ada bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in what? In tents. And not only that, and have livestock. So Jabal, this guy, I don't know anything about him, but he was the inventor of the first Airstream trailer, okay? You know, hello? Of the tents, okay? I guess he did that for those who maybe they're going to go from place to place or wander. I don't know. We're not told. But he was also probably a Texan. He had all these livestock, the father of livestock and so forth. You know, so he was the D.R. Horton of his day, you see. And not only that, he had all the cattle, probably, you know, had the corn on Longhorns. I don't really know. But here, that's what we've learned. Now, that's the first mention. There was someone back before the flood. And where he got the idea from God, I don't have a clue. We're not even told. But we know that he was the founder, the inventor of a tent. And then the second mention of the word tent is found after the flood, post-flood, if you will. And it's amazing as you study out the Bible, the things that happen in a tent in God's Word, you know? I mean, there's great stories that God has given us. Some things are horrible, some things are incredible. Now, look at Genesis chapter 9 and look at verse 18 with me. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. And these three were the sons of Noah. And from these three, the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer. He planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. You know, I've heard all kinds of teachings on that. And boy, they blast Noah and all of that. And, you know, the oldest man in the new world, He gets wasted. You know, and we have to say, okay, was it an accident? I mean, did Noah invent Mogan David wine? I mean, hello. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I mean, did he plan it or whatever? I mean, was it an accident? Because, you know, in the old world, there was a canopy, remember? Yeah, a canopy. And so maybe he did grow a vineyard, but you can't ferment. You need to, it wouldn't ferment. And then maybe over in the new world, there was a sun, you know, really shining down. And I don't have a clue, okay? We're not told. But I do know this. Noah evidently was the first drunk man in the new world. But here's what I want you to see about this, about things that happen in tents. Noah was not condemned by Scripture about being drunk. Now, I'm not saying that's right to be drunk. Of course it's not. But he wasn't condemned, but more of that in a minute. But what I want you to see is this is the very first recorded incident or issue of a family incident in the new world, and it's all recorded for us, and it happened in a tent. Look at verse 20 again. Noah became a farmer. He planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine. He was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Now listen, he was passed out. Not in public. He was passed out in his own little tent, okay? It says he became uncovered. How'd that happen? Did he do it? Did someone else do it? Look at the next verse. And Ham, the father of Canaan, okay, so Ham had a son, he was the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, told his two brothers outside, Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, they went backward, covered the nakedness of their father, their faces turned away, they did not see their father's nakedness. So they honored their dad by doing those things. They had deep respect for their father. But there are key words in our text about the tent, what was happening, that we need to understand. The first one is saw. The next one is told. When it says saw there, in the Hebrew, it means to gaze at something with delight. And then the word told means is to speak it with delight, or in other words, with pleasure and so forth. So Noah awoke from his wine, very important word, knew. He knew something, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. Now, younger son also in Hebrew can be grandson. So was Canaan, who was, you know, Canaan, of course, was he with Ham at that time when they went to the tent? We're not told, but was he? But the reason I say that, was it Canaan that did something in the tent, okay? And so Noah didn't curse Ham. Look who he cursed. Watch this, verse 25, and this word of prophecy. And then Noah said, cursed be Canaan. Didn't curse Ham. Cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants. He shall be to his brethren. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. And may Canaan be his servant, or literally slave. And may God enlarge Japheth. And may he dwell, and that word dwell is another great word. May he dwell, have fellowship with, or may he pitch his tent in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. So the curse was to Canaan. Canaan was the father of the Canaanites, okay? And the Canaanites, whatever happened in the tent, I don't know, but I do know this. That curse, the Canaanites, they were wicked. They were depraved. Not only that, their sexual horrible things that they did. Matter of fact, if you read Leviticus chapter 18, those are the things that the Canaanites practiced that God said, never do those things. Matter of fact, you know that all the ites, God wanted them all wiped out. Amen? Okay, now, so you say, well, Bill, what happened in Noah's tent? Well, you're going to have to go online and go down to Genesis on our archive, and you can listen to it because I don't have time. Great things, supernatural things, happen in tents, and they can happen in tents. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 12, when the call of Abram, he was 75 years old, to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and he left and followed the Lord. God told him, said, listen, in you, Abram, all the families of the earth, they will be blessed. Speaking of course, the Messiah will come from his lineage, Jesus Christ our Lord. So he leaves with Sarai, his wife. He leaves his country. He leaves his family. He takes Lot, his nephew, with him. and they arrive in the land of Canaan. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he what? You who are following, if no one's following, I'll just read it. He pitched his tent. And he pitched it with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. Now, Bethel means the house of the Lord, speaking of fellowship with God. Ai speaks of a heap of rubbish or a heap of ruins, which is symbolizing the world that that Abram lived in and we live in. Noah pitched his tent between the two, and so have we. And it says he did something. It says that he built an altar to the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. And that is deeper than we can imagine. Do you know that supernatural, unbelievable things happen when believers follow the Lord and pitch their tents? It's amazing. The word call there is not just speaking of, okay, Abram built an altar and worshiped the Lord and prayed unto God, which he did. But that word literally means he did so with a public proclamation. See, for the very first time, God was being introduced, the true God was being introduced to the land of Canaan by Abram. In other words, he was making a public proclamation of who God is and all that God has done. That's what he is speaking of here. But supernatural things. Do you follow? Study out the Bible. Abraham pitched his tent. Jacob pitched his tent. Isaac, the same. And the supernatural things that occurred. How would you like God that you go on a camping trip? You're in a tent and God says, you know what? Here you are in Yellowstone. All this land that you see, I'm giving unto you. Hello? You know what I'm saying? Would you rejoice? Are you with me this morning? I need you to hear me now. Hear what the Lord says. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Genesis 18. Let's look at that for a moment. Verse 1. And then the Lord appeared again to Abram by the terebinth trees of Mamre. So that's the big old oak trees, if you will. And Abram was sitting in the tent. There's that word again. He was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abram is now nearly 100 years old. Maybe he's hot, maybe he's tired, I don't know. Maybe he's taking a break. He's sitting there in the tent door, and it says he lifted up his eyes, and he looked. Behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, look what this old man did. He ran. Where did he run to? The tent door, the tent, over and over. He ran to the tent door to meet them. He bowed himself to the ground, and the rest of the scripture there, he says, man, I want to fix you a lunch, so just wait, let me go do it. It says in verse 6, Abraham hurried into the tent of Sarah and said, quickly, make three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham now, he ran. Man, this old man is moving, isn't he? He ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, hastened, there's another word, to prepare it. So he took the butter, he took the milk, he took the sweet potatoes and the mashed potatoes and the calf, and he prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree. There they are in the shade, and look what they did. They ate, meaning the Lord. The Lord ate. And the angels that were with him, they ate. And they said to Abram, where is Sarah, your wife? And so we said, well, here in the what? The tent. Don't forget that word. And he said, well, I'll certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent, at the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham, and now Abraham, Sarah, old, advanced in age, Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, oh, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? Now, she's thinking this. She's not saying it out loud. She's saying, well, shall I have pleasure in my Lord, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, yes, you did. You did laugh, Sarah. God knows everything we do. You don't have to, you can just think it, and he knows. Now listen, would you say, how would you like the Lord to show up and give you a word like that? Come on. The Lord God came all the way from heaven to build up the faith of one old woman. Sarah, you're going to have a child. You laughed, and guess what you're going to call that child? Laughter, amen? Yeah. Listen, and then we could go on. Another thing that God did, what did he do? He told Abram about what was the future of Sodom and Gomorrah, but we don't have time to go into all that. Let me ask you another question. The tabernacle, if you read the book of Exodus, look how much, how many chapters God gives to Moses concerning the pattern of the tabernacle, the furnishings of the tabernacle. I mean, chapter after chapter after chapter, and the tabernacle is a what? It's a tent. And what does a tent or the tabernacle represent in the Old Testament? That God is with you. The Shekinah glory of God. It's a representation, if you will, that God is dwelling among his people. And if you would then go from Exodus into Numbers, you'll find, and I encourage you to study this out later, chapters 1 and 2, and go on 3 and 4. But man, those first two chapters, whenever a census is taken among the 12 tribes of all of Israel. And what does God do? He assigns them. Here is the tabernacle. Here is the tent. The front door of the tent is facing east. The sun comes up and shines in the front door. And then from the north, the south, and east, and west, he takes the 12 tribes according to their numbers, and he puts them in their tents, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And when they walk out of their tent door, every tent, every family, they walk out a tent door, and what do they see? The tabernacle. The very first thing they see every day is the dwelling place of God, the Shekinah glory of God, maybe the cloud above. You see what I'm talking about, pillar of fire by night. Whenever the cloud moved, they broke camp and they moved. Now listen, God wants us. We're the tents, and God wants us. We're his army. Every day when we arise, we should look to God. Amen? He should be the very first thing on our hearts and minds. If you study out God's word, for example, even the Lord God, he's portrayed as living in a tent. Listen to Psalm 15:1. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Your tabernacle, that word is tent. Who may dwell in your holy hill? The psalmist is written in Psalm 27:5. It says that God stretched out the heavens like a tent. God loves the word tent. Matter of fact, tent is also used for as a metaphor in God's word for a person who belongs to God, who is in right standing with God. Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The great apostle of love, John, what a great man of God. He penned in the Gospel of John, remember, he explained how Jesus Christ was born on this planet. He says in John 14:1, he says this, and the Word, which is Jesus, and the Word became flesh. He became the God-man. The Word became flesh, and here's a key word, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You look up that word in the Greek, dwelt, and guess what that word means? Tent. Jesus, our Lord, the Word became flesh and not just dwelt, he pitched his tent among us. He pitched his tent here to come and die for the sins of the world. Praise God for that. That word is used over and over and over. Matter of fact, if you can turn just another time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Are you guys still with me? Okay, don't lose your place. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. Here it is. Paul the apostle, penning the Corinthians by the Holy Spirit of God, he calls us a tent. Our bodies are a tent. Look at this. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, 1, for we know if our earthly house, here it comes, this skinos, That's the Greek word. This tent is destroyed, meaning when we die. He says, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Listen, do you ever really just look at your body and say it's just a tent? You're just a tent. It's okay. We're all just a bunch of tents for God. Amen? And it's not permanent. A tent's not permanent. You know, you move around in a tent. That means that we're still wandering through this world. Not wandering, being led. You see, this world, which is passing away, is not the believer's home, is it? So a tent is temporary. We know that. It's not a permanent thing. The Bible teaches us that our inner man, our outer man is perishing. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Thank God for that. Now, one day, this tent, some of us have skinny tents. Some of us have more or larger tents. But you're still a tent, okay? And one day, we're going to put off this tent. Then we're going to have a home that God has done for us, eternal in the heavens, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Man, we step right out of time, this old tent, goodbye. You know, I'm tired of fixing you up anyway, you know? And man, we step right into eternity forever and ever. No wonder Peter, even he said, listen carefully, 2 Peter 1:13, Peter talking to the churches there, he said, yes, I think it is right or my duty as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as the Lord Jesus showed me. In other words, we know what happened to Peter. He was there in the time of Nero, and of course he was martyred for our Lord, crucified upside down. Now, did you know that even the author of Hebrews talks about a tent? Let me read it to you. Hebrews 8:1. Now, this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest as Jesus Christ. It says, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Thank God for that. Amen. Jesus seated next to God. Jesus has all power, all authority in heaven, upon earth. The Bible says, by him, Jesus, our Lord, all things consist, or all things are held together. We have nothing to worry about, right? No. It says also that he is the minister of the sanctuary, or the Holy of Holies. Here it is, and the true tent, the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. You know, there, when you study that word out, it's amazing, isn't it? Now, back then, of course, the temple probably was still standing. I'm not for sure. I have to go back and can't, my information banks don't have that with me right this moment. But I do know this, it's not saying that the other temple was false and the new one is true. No, it was a contrast, if you will. Remember that in AD 70, who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem? There you go. They leveled it to the ground, not one stone left upon the other, just like the Lord Jesus had prophesied and told them. But so here, that didn't make it, but the tent, the tabernacle in heaven, it's forever and ever and ever. No one can destroy that. No one can touch it. Our Lord is there right now. It says also in Hebrews 9:11, it says Christ came as a high priest to good things to come, which is a greater and more perfect tent, our tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bull and goats or calves and so forth, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. For all and once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So there he pours out in the Holy of Holies his own blood, the Bible says, and obtained for us once and for all forever eternal redemption. I love that word. That means you have been eternally purchased and no one can snatch you out of God's hands. Amen? And we're going to all make it. Praise God. So, with all that being said, remember this. Jesus is our high priest right this moment. The Old Testament priest, But remember, when they went in, only once a year they had to go in by the blood, and only once a year, the Day of Atonement, they went into the Holy of Holies, and they poured out the blood and all the rest of it. But when he went in, and only he alone, he wore the breastplate. And on the breastplate, there were the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. So the high priest would carry them into the Holy of Holies with him, representing them. And then he would make atonement for all the sins of the people. Listen, our high priest, Jesus Christ, took us, the church, to heaven with him. We are seated with Christ positionally right this minute at the right hand of God with our Lord. Do you believe that? Listen to me. Here it comes, Ephesians 2:6. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And then it's in Christ Jesus. God sees us finished. He sees us there. I'm talking about tense. Revelation 21:1. Let me read it. Now I saw a new heaven, John writes, a new earth, the first heaven and earth, they have passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tent of God, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell. That word dwell is a very important word. Dwell with them. God will pitch his tent with them. Not a temporary tent, an eternal forever and ever and ever tent. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. One day, we're going to a place, it's called a tent. I don't understand all of it, but I know this. When we are there, we will be with God himself forever and ever and ever. Divine, perfect, unending intimacy. What a glorious, incredible day. But right now, we're not there, are we? Okay, we haven't gone home. Right now, our tents have been pitched right here on this planet. When you study out the book of 2 Peter, I believe it is, when it talks about the suffering that's going on, and it mentions that to the pilgrims of the dispersion, the word pilgrim or sojourner, if you will, means you don't belong here. You are a resident alien in a post-Christian culture. Does that make sense? Yes, and here we are, and it says that we're of the dispersion. We use that word for us. That word means to be scattered. God has scattered out his tents all over the world. And who has he placed us beside? Lost people, hurting people, people that need God. Because we're the only people on earth, if we believe God's word, that know how to get to heaven. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. And so when we think about that, we're not home yet. Our tents are on earth. Yes, we're citizens of heaven. We're eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But until he comes, Jesus said, do business till I come. He said, listen, we have to now start 2020 all over again. It's time to labor. It's time to be unified. It is time to work. Why? Because in 2020, we are pitching our tents. We are taking the tent called free. Remember my last sermon? Tent called free. And we're going to pitch that tent all over this city. Why? Well, we're God's tents. We're endued with power from on high. We're tents of God, but we're also the temple of the living God, aren't we? The naos, meaning the holy of holies of God. That's who we are. We're being built up a spiritual people, loved one. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives or dwells in you? Remember what God said about Israel. Let me give you the scripture about Jerusalem. I'm sorry. Isaiah 33:20. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home. Listen carefully. A tent. God calls Jerusalem a tent. He says a tent that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. Now, how much more the bride of Christ? How much more the church of the living God? How much more the church who is forever triumphant, who the gates of hell will not even prevail against? Amen? No one's going to remove this tent, this church. No one. We belong to Almighty God. Loved one, listen, that scripture is powerful. Do you ever just do a study on tents? Listen, I mean, just think about it. Back then, you know, a tent. If you were living at that time, at nighttime, what did you need in your tent? You needed a light. So they had a lamp. What did they put in that lamp? Oil in the tent. Amazing. And what does oil represent or symbolic of in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, back in that generation, if you were living in a tent, you pitched your tent here and there. Whenever you pitched your tent, even like today, if you go camping, you want to pitch your tent by water. Fresh water. Amen? So you can fish or you can wash or you can cook. Do whatever you want to do. Unless you have an Airstream. What does water represent in Scripture? The Word of the living God. Listen to me. Tents. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Every tent has a Bible. Amen? Every tent has the temple of God because you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amazing what God is going to do. Listen to this scripture, or do through you. Psalm 118:15. It says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous, and the right hand of God does valiantly. All the voice of rejoicing, where is it coming from? Well, because there's salvation in the tents of the righteous. You're going to be leading people to the Lord. Listen, 2020, Candy Cane Lane Christmas. 11 months and days away. Going to be different this time. We're going to plan differently. We're going to do things differently because we've learned about the largest outreach that we have ever had. And it's going to be in 2020, Candy Cane Lane Christmas is going to be larger than what we did this year. You know that we have received letters from so many families thanking us for this? I just received a letter, a beautiful letter from some of the residents that live on Candy Cane Lane, Diamond Oaks Drive South. Many of them put out the candy canes. Next year, it's going to be solid in Jesus' name. Now, and they said, we're so thankful for this church, for you, and what you did, and how you spurred the community on. And this, he was writing, he says, I have met people, I've lived on there 25 years, and I never even met them. And now I've met person after person. He says, we're being united. That's because of what you did. Man, I think of all the good things. Now listen, during the Candy Cane Christmas, did the Lord bring his harvest to us? Right to our doorstep. We didn't have to leave the church, loved one. Not at all. Now listen carefully. 2020. Now God is sending us, the Lord Jesus, sending us into his harvest to this city. But wait. Listen very carefully. All you have to do is no more than we did here. All that you have to do is go pitch your tent. That's all that you have to do. And they will come to you. To a tent called free. Are you with me? You don't have to go out there and knock doors. You don't have to do any of those things at all because the harvest is right. We're a tent of God, pitching a tent all in different areas, divine locations in this city called free. What a glorious, wonderful thing God has called us to do. Now listen, the lost and the hurting, they're ready. They're ready. Just as ready of all those that received Christ, remember? All those that you prayed for? Man, listen, they wanted you to pray. Do you remember? They need prayer. They know they need prayer. And they saw a people, not a religious people, but a real people, a real church. And this city now is going to see it in action. not on our campus, but out into our city. And here's what you need to do. You need to be expectant this year. You need to be prepared right now for the supernaturalness of God, meaning the here-ness, the now-ness of God, for the gifts of the Spirit, the things that God's going to move and use, and how he's going to use you. God likes tents. All from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find them. God likes tents, and he does supernatural things in tents and in tents. It's amazing what God is doing. Look what you did in 2019 about Candy Cane Lane Christmas, loved one. Listen, I am so thankful for you and what you did. You prepared, you worked, you prayed, you gave, and then you loved your neighbor as yourself. Unbelievable. Wonderful. And you know what? We did it for one reason. There's spiritual poverty. We did not material poverty. We did it for one reason. We wanted to see people saved. But now it is 2020, and God is taking the whirlwind, his whirlwind, into this city, and that means you. There's so many people that are hurting that are going to come to you. You know, remember how I told you about on the camera that night someone had broken into the wanted to steal the pump or something out there in the camera. We were trying to figure out who it was and how people, a couple, came to the cross. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, you could tell as they walked around, we were watching them, the whole office, just because, you know, we never looked, but it was the police wanted to see. But anyway, and there they are. You could tell they'd been fighting. And they were a young couple. He was walking over here. She was walking over here. But by 4 o'clock in the morning, they were in front of the cross. See, we weren't here, but that was. And they knew something about at least Jesus. He died there. Can you help me? And I believe by the action I saw on the video that they got it worked out. You know, a lot of people go different places to try to work out their problems. They go on drives. They do this. Sometimes they go to a park. You know what I mean? You never know. Or they'll go to a movie, whatever it means. I don't know. But I know this. Let's say we're at the park. This is a divine location. We know where it's at. And here's somebody out. We're in our tent called Free, and we're the tent too, but we are definitely free. And there we are, and they see. They're walking over here, and they see Free. Well, you know how greedy hearts are. I mean, I'd even, what's Free? And they walk over, and they say, well, so what's Free here today? What are you giving away? Well, you're here because I just want to do one thing. Can I pray for you? And they look at you, and maybe they'll say, I came here because I'm in trouble. I had to think out what's wrong with me, what's happening in my life, why I can't get off drugs, why my husband beats me, why I don't have a job. I don't know what to do anymore. And you say, I do. Can I pray for you? Can I just pray for your needs? And as you do that, here you are, the temple of the living God. Here you are filled with the gifts of God. Here you are a tent in a tent called Free. And here is a person that needs to be saved. And the power of God, you give them the perfect word, the right word. God will use you. Are you with me? You never know who's coming. You never know why they're coming. Listen, all those 40-some-odd plus years ago, there I was on that beach in Florida when I was saved. Listen, there I was. I was in a divine location at a divine moment. And there was that hippie on the beach. And see, God put into his heart the exact words that I needed to hear. And he said, hey man, you look like you're looking for the truth. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was looking for the truth. I wanted to know if there really was any truth anymore. And I said to him, what is truth? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's my life scripture, John 8:32. I prayed with him in that divine location. He was a hippie tent. And here I am now. It's a supernatural thing that God is doing. And you have to believe in the supernatural, loved one. God is doing something. Listen to me now. I know it's time to go home, but just give me a couple more minutes. If you study out the incredible book of Isaiah, the great prophet that God raised up, and, you know, when you get to chapter, oh, say 50, and go through 55 and right in that area there, you know, it talks about how, about the Messiah, how he was going to come, how he was going to die for the sins of the world, how it pleased God to bruise him and make his an offering for sin. Remember all that? How he was going to be crushed and bruised and all of that, how his face and, you know, would be like the, his visage was that of not of a man, meaning his what they did to him on the cross, he didn't even look like a human. And then at the end of 53, when it's talking about all of that, it gets into chapter 54. Let me read the first verse, if you will. It says, O sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, saith the Lord. Now, we know what this is speaking about. In context, this is God calling Israel back out of captivity. But it also speaks of the second coming and the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, when Israel will finally be safe. But it also speaks about them coming out of captivity, the few, not a lot of them there. And he says, God says, you know what? You're not going to have to labor in pregnancy or whatever to bear children. He said, man, I'm going to make you like the dust of, and the sand of the sea. Amen. But then when we get in, and that pertains to Israel, I know, in context. However, when we get to this next verse, in verse 2, listen carefully. This word, I believe with all my heart, is what yesterday, came right yesterday as I was praying here. And matter of fact, I took this word, walked right into Abby's office, and I said, let me read this scripture to you. I said, the Lord just gave it to me. This is concerning this year. You ready for it? Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, or the curtains of your tent. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right. You shall expand to the left. That is a word I believe with all of my heart for this church at this specific time in 2020. God says, he says, now it's time to enlarge your tent. God has great things for us, but we have to be willing to go do it. Amen? He says, oh, get the tent. We're going to do a remodel. We're going to expand it. We're going to expand your place. And then he says, I want you to stretch it out. Stretch out that tent. That means trust me. It means trust me. Let me stretch your faith. Let me take you to where you've never been before. Let's see God move like he's never moved before. Amen? And then he says, do not spare. Literally, that means don't you hold back. Don't you, you know, listen, you got to be careful where you pitch your tent in 2020. You have to be careful. You want to pitch your tent where God wants your tent, your body, your person, where he wants you. You have to be following the Lord, loved one. Listen, God's word, I believe, just said to us, Calvary Chapel, the whirlwind of God, it is time for you to enlarge, to stretch, to lengthen, to strengthen, and expand. We're going to go into this city. God blew through here, and now he is. We're picking up a velocity. We're picking up we're going. God is going to do great things. Because God's whirlwind, we're going to be pitching our tents. We're going to be pitching a tent called Free. The adventure is about to begin. It's time. It's time for us to love God more than self. It's time for us to really want to do the will of God. Some of us are pitching our tents. We're like Lot. And though he looked forward and said, oh, man, look at that, the well-watered land when he and Abraham got in the argument there, you know, and they had to split up because of all the riches that they had, all the cattle and the herds and all the rest of it, and there was problems between the workers. And Abraham said, you know what? Here, you look wherever you want to go, just take it. What did Lot do? He didn't have an altar. He didn't pray. He looked with his eyes. Oh, I like it over here. He looked towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. That one decision, did it cost him? It cost him everything. You better be careful where you pitch your tent. Some of you young people, you're pitching your tent in the wrong places. You're putting your eyes on wrong things. You need to put your eyes on Jesus Christ and no one else. Listen, we are getting ready when the warmer weather comes. We're getting ready to pitch our tents, and the Bible says that we're going to move out, and he who winneth souls is wise. The word winneth, he who winneth souls, means he who captures human beings alive and escaping them from eternal death. That's what we have to do now. We don't know how much time is left. And here's what it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us our time, and it's going to cost us ourselves. Jesus said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him disown self. It's no longer my will, it's his will. It's no longer my life, it's his life. He's purchased me, he saved me. If you want to come after me, Jesus said, listen, I have to be your Lord. He wants you to come with him. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and then follow me. That's the adventure. If you want an adventure, you don't have to be out every month and every day. You can choose and select. We're the army of God. We're the army of tents, amen, that God is going to be using. And this church is founded on three scriptures, the vision statement for this church. We exist. We believe that obedience to the great commandment, the great commandment, the greatest of them all, to love the Lord thy God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. The other one's just like it, love thy neighbor as thyself. The second one, the Great Commission. Go into all the world. We're getting ready to go into this part of the world. Amen. And then the third one is the new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you to the same degree. And if you love one another, then it says, Jesus said, then the whole world will know that you're my disciples. That's why love never. That's why this church, that's the foundation of this church. Loved one, it is time. Training for the tent starts soon. So here's what you're going to have to do. Dan Majala and his team, they're going to train you. They're going to love you. They're going to show you what to do. We're scouting out the divine locations through prayer, through study in this city. And how God wants us to move. Like I said, I can only declare it. I'm not trying to define it. Does that make sense? And then what you need to do is that you email me, info@loveneverfails.com, and say, I'm a tent, and I want to be in the tent. You understand? And then we're going to train, and we're going to launch an army, and who knows what God is going to do this year. You never know. We may put a tent out here for Easter. Do you understand? I'm telling you, I've been writing down so much, I think I'm going crazy. You know? But I know this. 2020, it's our year. Be obedient. Work like you did last year, this year. Be faithful like you were last year, this year. Let us be one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, one man for Jesus Christ this year. And be wise about where you're going to pitch your tent. Father, we thank you now for your word for 2020. Oh, Lord, I love you. I'm excited. And I thank God I was obedient to deliver the craziest message I've ever delivered, Lord. But it's okay with me. As long as it made you happy and as long as, Lord, I obeyed you. Now bless the sheep of your pasture. Oh, Lord, yes. You know, and while we're here, every eye closed, everyone not looking around, and every Christian praying, you know what? You're here this morning, but maybe you pitched your tent where you shouldn't be pitching it? Why would let's just get that cleared up with God right now. Are you in an area that you shouldn't be in? If so, let's repent. Let's get right with God right now. And if that's you, I don't want you to come down here to the altar, but I do want you to lift your hand and say, Bill, I've pitched my tent in the wrong place. I know it's wrong. I want to repent of that right now. Just lift your hand and yes, God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Put it right back down. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. And say, yes, God bless you. I see that. Yes, thank you. God bless. Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I pitched it. It's wrong. I don't want to pitch it towards Sodom. I want to pitch it toward the Lord. Father, you saw the hands. You know their hearts. And I believe with all of my heart, Lord, the lifting up the hand took great faith. Faith that said, forgive me. Faith that said, cleanse me. Faith that said, Lord, I want to pitch my tent only toward you. So bless them now. Cleanse them. Bless this place called Calvary Chapel. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Now,